Back when I was a child, I remember Bishop Sheen telling this story. Back in 1950, a group of young people in their early 20s had gathered in an apartment in Kiev, Ukraine, which back then, as you remember, was part of the Soviet Union, which was ruled at that time by Joseph Stalin, perhaps one of the most evil men in history. Well, this group of students gathered to pray and to read the sacred scriptures, which was illegal, punishable by arrest, imprisonment, even exile to Siberia. Joseph Stalin had tried to eradicate the church, and he closed all the churches except he kept the Russian Orthodox Church alive, although he kept tight control over it and infiltrated it with his KGB agents. We should never forget that for the Soviet Union, atheistic communism was the religion. The state was God. People were meant to serve the state. They were simply parts of a means of production. Of course, Stalin himself was like the Messiah, the Savior. By law, everyone had to even have a picture of Joseph Stalin in their home displayed prominently. Otherwise, you could be arrested. Well, this group of young people, these young students, were gathered reading the Bible, and suddenly the door is bashed in. Another group of students, really almost like stormtroopers, came in, they ransacked the apartment, they beat up the others, and they stole all the Bibles and any other religious material. One of those young stormtroopers, named Alexei, actually ripped a page out of the Bible, crumpled it up tightly, and put it in his pocket. So later that night, when he was alone back in his dormitory, he uncrumpled this wadded-up piece of paper, and it turned out to be a page from the Gospel of John. And he read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn the world, but to give everlasting life to those who believe." And he began to wonder, who is this God that would actually give, not take? Who is this God who actually loves the world, loves me? So the following week, the other students had gathered again to pray, read the Bible, and there's another knock at the door. They were frightened, but when they opened the door, it was Alexei, and he said, "I want to know your God. I want to know this Jesus." Shortly thereafter, he was baptized. Well, my brothers and sisters, I tell that story because this Sunday, this Laetare Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing for this midpoint of our Lenten preparation, we have that same verse presented in our passage from the Gospel of St. John. This is a verse that you'll find in no other sacred scripture of any other religion, not even in our own Old Testament, only in the Gospel. But to appreciate this Gospel verse, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son," we have to understand the context. Consider our first passage from the second book of Chronicles. We read this sad description of the Jewish people of the Old Testament. It says, "In those days, the princes, the priests, the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of all the pagan nations and polluting the Lord's temple." Here, God had made a covenant with Abraham. He had rescued the people from slavery in Egypt, renewed the covenant with Moses, given the people the Ten Commandments, settled them in the Promised Land, and yet they were unfaithful. And we continue to read in Chronicles that they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warning, scoffed the prophets. So God so loved his people, he sent the prophets to preach repentance and conversion, and they rejected them. And then, thinking that they could rely on their own strength, this great nation of Israel, they ended up a defeated nation at the hands of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and then at the time of our Lord, even the Romans. And yet, as St. Paul said in our passage from Ephesians, God is rich in mercy. He loves his people so much that he gave his only Son. Yes, the Father sent his Son, Jesus, true God, consubstantial with the Father, second person of the Trinity, into this world. Jesus, true God, became true man through Mary, who conceived by the Holy Spirit. As we read in the beautiful prologue of St. John's Gospel, the Word, capital W, Word of God, that is the Son, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with truth and grace. So our Lord came to perfectly reveal God's truth and love to us so that we could live freely, to live in that covenant of love. Our Lord, though, came to forgive sin. He and he alone could take the burden of sin unto himself. So he could take that burden of sin, offer the perfect sacrifice that transcends time, and offer that sacrifice to pay the price for our sins, sins of the past, his time, our time. Now think for a moment. What if this? What if you were charged with some heinous crime, like, let's say, a premeditated, awful murder? You're brought to court. The judge says, we've heard the evidence, you committed the crime, you're guilty, you're going to be executed. That's justice. But pause. The judge then says, but instead of you dying, you who deserve to die, here's my Son, totally innocent, never committed a crime. He's going to die for you. That's the infinite mercy of God. It's mind-boggling. We can't totally appreciate it. But that is God's mercy for us. And so Jesus paid the price for our sins because God so loved us. Yet, it doesn't stop there. Of course, Jesus rose from the dead to give us the hope of everlasting life. But consider this then. When we read this beautiful verse, even though it says God so loved the world, we have to look at this in a very present tense kind of understanding. Christ is living. So Christ, crucified, risen, glorified in heaven, is living with us. So you and I should really read this verse a little bit differently. I like to read it this way. God so loves me that he gave his only Son, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who suffered, died, and rose for my salvation. That's how we ought to read the verse. And we ought to take this to heart. For when we take that verse to heart and really believe, we can have great joy. That conviction of faith gives us real joy that we have a living Savior who loves us now. Loves us for who we are, not what we've done, not what we can do for the state, who loves us for who we are. And with that, then, we know we can rejoice with him in each moment of our life. Now, granted, not all moments are necessarily joyful. You and I well know we go through times of sorrow, suffering, disappointment, rejection, injustice, failure, and yet our Lord is with us. He's there to be with us, to walk along the way, our journey of life, to steady us, even to pick us up when we fall. This is why I would encourage you, if you don't do so already, take time to pray the Stations of the Cross. We have them here set as a church on Friday in the afternoon and then in the evening. If not, do it on your own. But walk the way with our Lord. Our Saint Pope John Paul II, our beloved late Holy Father, prayed the Stations of the Cross every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock as best that he could. But walk the way with our Lord. I guarantee you, walk with him at each of the stations, and you will see how he is walking with you in your own life too. And that gives us comfort. And maybe at the very end, pause at the foot of our own cross right here, our own crucifix, look up at Jesus, and just be there in quiet. And God willing, in the depths of your heart, you'll hear him say, I love you. That's the beauty. I can only encourage you to do this. And I know, my brothers and sisters, I've heard that some of our children in our parish have never prayed the Stations of the Cross. So you parents, please bring them to the stations. Now, we could stop there, but we have to go one little bit further, because there's a real challenge in the gospel, too. Jesus says, the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to the light because their works were evil. So there are those who would reject everything I said. So be it. But what about us? What about our own soul? Do we like to live in the darkness, at least in some ways? Consider that. That's what really sin is. Sin is living in the darkness. Venial sin weakens our relationship with the Lord. We should never discount venial sin. And venial sin can become habitual. We should never be comfortable with a venial, sinful habit. Mortal sin, of course, kills that sanctifying grace and casts us really into the darkness. So you and I have to come into the light. If we really believe everything that I've said so far about God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, you and I need to come into the light, examine our conscience, and confess our sin. God help us if we want to stay in the darkness of pride. And we can easily be absorbed by this darkness of pride, that egotistic pride where we think it's all about me. I rule. It's my life, my kingdom. Or that intellectual pride where a person says, well, I don't care what the church teaches, what the Bible teaches, what the catechism teaches. I think this, and I'm going to follow my own way. Who cares what the commandments say? I'll do what I want to do. Or maybe it's that spiritual pride where a person says, I have no sin. I'm a good person by this world's standards. I don't need to go to confession. Why confess my sins? Don't stay in the darkness. How can we know the love of the Lord if we want to stay in the darkness? Instead, we need to come to the light, examine our consciences, go to confession, receive absolution, and do our penance. Our Lord said, whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. All of us here need to take time for that good confession so that we can truly say, I live in the light. I live by God's truth. So my brothers and sisters, this Sunday we truly do rejoice because Lent's halfway over and we're almost there, right there at Easter. But let us rejoice in the conviction that our Lord Heavenly Father loves us so much, he gave us our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we, though, bear witness to his light, be a light in this world, and God willing, proclaim the goodness of our Lord's love. May God bless you.